Praise a song of gladness, peoples of the earth. Christ has come bringing peace, joy to every heart. Alleluia, alleluia, joy to every heart. Alleluia, alleluia, joy to every heart. Raise a song of gladness, peoples of the earth. Christ has come bringing peace, joy to every heart. Alleluia, alleluia, joy to every heart. Alleluia, alleluia, joy to every heart. Raise a song of gladness, peoples of the earth. Christ has come bringing peace, joy to every heart. Alleluia, alleluia, joy to every heart. Alleluia, alleluia, joy to every heart.
Sing it with us.
Alleluia, alleluia, joy to every heart. Alleluia, alleluia, joy to every heart.
The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's do that again. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. I welcome you in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity, to this beautiful Easter morning service, and I thank you for your presence wherever you may be in the great cloud of conscious harmony community. We send you love from this beautiful campus, which is blooming and radiant with green and lushness after the rain. We wish you were here, we miss you, and we know a future memory with me. Know this future memory. A year from now, Easter 2021, can you feel us together celebrating the victory of consciously chosen love over this season? Feel into that in your body and in your heart and your mind. A year from now, we will be here. I can tell you, I will remember this moment, and we will share in it together as we look into each other's eyes face to face. It's a joy to be concluding our Easter journey to Easter Sunday through this journey of Lent. It's been a most peculiar Lenten journey, and today we get to celebrate the power of life after life. And I invite you to prepare your Christ candle, also your Eucharist at home in your sacred space so you can partake with us. We have several special adjustments or new things today prepared for our service. I encourage you to stick through the whole service to enjoy all that we have prepared for you. Let us now ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to be our guide, to be our comfort, and that what we need today would come to us through this service and in some way bless the whole world and increase our consciousness and love and deep connectivity. May it be so. And now Deborah will light the Christ candle in the manner of godly play.
As we bring fire to this candle wick, making it glow with light, may we also bring the fire of love to this time of prayer and worship. Amen.
Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Holy Spirit.
Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Remember God, and God is in our hearts. This is our verse. If you will be my echo, the Spirit of God made me.
The Spirit of God made me.
And the breath of the living God,
and the breath of the living God
gives me life.
Gives me life.
As you can see,
We have symbols of the Easter story. We have the beginning, the baby, the Christ child, born in a manger. We have Jesus, the teacher, the healer, the one who called the crowds together and fed them. We have the cross where he was crucified, and we have the tomb, and the stone is rolled away. And we have the light, the resurrection and the life. One analogy of the Easter story is the story of the butterfly. It begins with an egg, and what comes out of the egg is just a little teeny tiny caterpillar. So little you can hardly see it. But caterpillars are eating machines, and so they eat, and they eat, and they eat, and they eat, and they grow bigger. And eventually, they're pretty huge, maybe not this big, but they've eaten a lot. They eat 300 times their weight every day, kind of like the crowds that followed Jesus, always hungry. But then something changes, and they enter the next stage of their metamorphosis, and they go into the chrysalis, the cocoon. And something amazing happens inside this cocoon. Everything that was the caterpillar turns into liquid goo. And then, because of some very special cells called imaginal discs, things like eyes and wings and feet begin to form from the goo. And when the time is right, the butterfly makes its way out of that cocoon and dries its wings, pumps them full of blood, and then it soars. It flies. It takes off. It's a new creation, but it came out of the goo. And as I thought about the Easter story and the cave, it's the cocoon. And somehow in those 3 days, some kind of rapid transformative process happened to turn Jesus into the light of the world. And we know that that light is everywhere with us today. But there's a third story here. And that's the story of the coronavirus. Because when we were given dominion over the earth, the animals, the trees, and the flowers, it was our job to take care of them. But we were like hungry, hungry caterpillars, always taking more and more and more until things got strange with the environment. And we all stood by wondering, how can we fix this? We've been using our oceans as trash cans. We've been tearing down the trees. We've been eliminating species of animals that God put on the earth for us to take care of. And so Mother Nature stepped in and created the coronavirus, a cocoon for the people of God. And into this cocoon, the people of God are going with love from the mother. All of them, eventually. Maybe not everyone yet. But in this cocoon of change and transformation, the imaginal cells left by the transformation of Jesus into the Christ, those imaginal cells are with us, turning us all into Christ, The pattern, the blueprint for transformation into the butterfly is here with us. Now, what can we do in the meantime? Well, we talked last week about affirmations. The way we go from being in the false self to the true self. And in my Easter egg today, I have some affirmations that we can all work with as we are transformed. Now I am courageous. Now I am generous. Now I am cooperative. Now I am resilient. Now I am persistent. Now I am calm. Now I am healthy. Now I am positive. Now I am creative. I am loving. I am happy. I am safe. I am kind. I am harmless. I am truthful. I am confident. I am held by God. I am peaceful. I am trustworthy. I am brave. I am joyful. I am in God's care. I am love. I am light. Amen.
Please join with me in listening for God's word for us. Our first reading is from Mark Nepo's poem, Adrift. Everything is beautiful, and I am so sad. This is how the heart makes a duct of wonder and grief. The light spraying through the face of the fern is as delicate as the fibers of memory forming their web around the knot in my throat. The breeze makes the birds move from branch to branch as this ache makes me look for those I've lost in the next room, in the next song, in the laugh of the next stranger. In the very center, under it all, what we have that no one can take away, and all that we've lost, face each other. It is there that I'm adrift, feeling punctured by a holiness that exist inside everything. I am so sad, and everything is beautiful. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Peace be with you. On a usual Sunday, when we're all here together, we youth would be heading down to Theosis Chapel right about now for centering prayer to bring our attention to our hearts and just stay there for a few minutes together. And as I sit here in this chair above Theosis Chapel. I'm wishing for my heart to open up ever more fully so I can feel you, feel what I know, that you are there, all is well. And I also want to acknowledge that you, young people, are the most creative, imaginative, resilient creatures on the planet. And I know how difficult this time is to be away from what you're used to, how difficult it is to spread your wings in this kind of environment where we're stuck in a place where we can't leave without danger. And that there you were last Sunday at the virtual youth Tazay service. It was beautiful. And there you were Wednesday night at our youth meeting. And I heard something that lifted my heart so much that it's still lifted. When one of you shared how happy you were because you've been praying and singing, chanting, and dancing. I've been doing those things as well, and also feeling disconnected at home. And this week in particular, I've been doing a lot of sitting, just sitting down, my eyes open, sometimes closed, just being. And I've come to this question that keeps coming up for me. Has it ever come up for you? Who am I? Who am I? For me, so far, the answer is in the question. But I'll keep asking. Maybe you could join me. And this morning, when I got here, there was a rainbow just over the hills over here. What an invitation. And when I came into the classrooms to prepare myself to be here with you right now, in the older teen classroom, I found a nest of these. Remember these? Christ is risen, it says. A picture. We used to get these every year. And as I picked this particular one, the image of what this represents started unfolding in me, and I said to myself, are you going to try to share this with the young people today? And I said, well, what are you going to say? Well, I never know what I'm going to say. But I appreciate your patience and your openness and your understanding. When I ask myself, who am I? I'm thinking of this outer self of myself and what I do. But in an egg, the business is inside of it, right? It's got potential. Can be eaten or it can become a chicken. So when I'm asking myself, who am I? I'm like this egg. I've got this outer accoutrement here. But I think the question's coming from within, inviting me to discover what is in there. And there's this quote from Krishnamurti that goes something like this. Inside oneself, there lies the whole world. And if you are able to look and learn, there's the door, and the key is in your hand. Nobody on earth can give you the key or the door to open except yourself. Who are you? Who am I? I think it's a good way to spend the time asking that question. I'm in.
Please join me in listening for God's word for us. Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' face, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet he did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
What would it be like to be wealthy? You ever wondered that? What would it be like to be financially wealthy? In America, we are built upon the notion that each of us is given the right to life, pursuit of happiness. What's the second one? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yeah, we're not very free today, are we? But life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And for many people, the pursuit of happiness comes down to money. And thus the elevation of wealth as the ultimate destiny for happiness on this planet. What would it be like to be wealthy? I oftentimes wonder that. And for me and for most human beings on this planet, it would be a luxury to have 2 or 3 or 4 months' worth of savings in the bank. And in the situation that we're in, we might think that I would be happier if I had more money. And it may appear like that on the surface, that money allows people to live perhaps on an island far away in the Caribbean and avoid being around other people. But money only has its certain power. And beyond that, it's deeply limited, as we're seeing right now. Now, this is not an Easter morning message about money. This is an analogy. In a certain sense, when minimum wage workers can't make money, when people can't pay rent, when companies can't pay rent, the system starts to fall apart. Money is broke. And that's one lesson we're learning. And how broke will be interesting to see. John D. Rockefeller was, in many cases, the wealthiest man, certainly wealthiest American and second wealthiest human being ever in human history. And in today's dollars, John D. Rockefeller, they estimate, was worth $350 billion. He was very wealthy. Was he happy? I wonder. On May 22nd, 1937, John D. Rockefeller was the wealthiest man in the world. And on May 23rd, 1937, he was not. Why? What happened? Did the markets crash? No. Did his corporation go under or fail? No. What happened is that John D. Rockefeller on one day was worth $350 billion, and on May 23rd, the next day, he died. And this gets at the question of, who am I? All the money in the world, $350 billion, you can't take it with you. And this is self-explanatory, but why would you invest your happiness in something that is not eternal, in something that it can't be taken with us? It's a very important question, not only in these times, but in our ordinary times, that perhaps we can envision a different kind of world where money isn't God, and where human beings aren't commodities for the sake of other people's money. It's a hard word, yes, because our whole culture is built around the dollar. But where's the dollar now? When the system is broken because of a virus. Something to ponder. I want to talk about a deeper richness, a richness that is eternal, that no one, nothing can ever take away, no matter what happens to us. A ground for our happiness that can never go away, a happiness for no reason at all, because we feel this wealth of spirit, the incredible, uncountable riches of Christ, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And this is really something to wish for in our lives, more than being wealthy. Can you imagine what it would be like to be spiritually wealthy, to be happy for no reason? It's something I wish for. Yesterday, my friend and colleague and a friend of this church community, Peter Belke, who is a minister up in the frozen tundra in Minneapolis, he called me, and we had a wonderful conversation. It was so encouraging because he's been a pastor for a long time, and he knows what it's like to be a pastor on the afternoon of Holy Saturday as Easter Sunday approaches, which is kind of like culturally, you know, the Super Bowl of church. And most pastors, you know, feel a lot of pressure, including this one. But, you know, I long ago realized that I couldn't control it, and I had to surrender to the process. And he asked me how my sermon preparation was going for Easter, and I said, I got nothing. And we laughed, and he said, oh, brother, I've been there before. And he said, you know what? Easter Sunday, just get up there and give a toast to Christ, because it's really just a moment of celebration. And he said, put some jazz music on this afternoon and dance and just feel into the happiness that love wins, that life wins. And so I say, thank you, Peter Belki. And it's true that our lives are pursuing and seeking a happiness, and there is nothing greater than the happiness of the joy of the Lord, dancing in the joy of the Lord. Well, we have the opportunity to look around for the treasures of the spiritual life, the treasures that are priceless, and the great richness that has come to us through the teachings and the teachers, the great valuation of how our lives have increased in value and spiritual richness because we have a practice called centering prayer. The spiritual richness that has accumulated in our beings because we've known and interacted with and listened to and felt the presence of Father Thomas Keating. The spiritual richness and evaluation that has forever touched our lives, making us very spiritually wealthy because we have had contact and read and been in the presence of a teacher like Bernadette Roberts. And for all of us, we are so infinitely wealthier spiritually because of the ministry and life of Tim and Barbara Cook. And I thought it would be a special moment today for all of us to hear from Tim and Barbara, a greeting for Easter. You might be thinking of them, and they might be thinking of you. And so they've prepared an Easter message for all of us that you can watch now on your screen. They're broadcasting in a recorded way from the jungle of Cuernavaca in Westlake in their backyard of the church manse. And you will see their love and feel their love. And so thank you, Tim and Barbara, for being with us this morning. Let's watch.
Good morning. Barbara and I are happy to greet you this morning in what I believe is the 32nd Easter since the Church of Conscious Harmony was founded. Now, even though our community is 32 years old, it's a lot older than that in the essence of Christianity. For 2,000 years, Christianity has gone on down through the centuries, meeting and experiencing every kind of trial and challenge, every kind of pestilence, every kind of famine, and certainly war after war after war. And we're still here. The risen Christ is with us now, calling us into ever deeper relationship with the one that is, and with all our brothers and sisters on this planet. It's an unusual time when we meet by electronic technology, but we've met in countless ways over the years as civilizations have cycled and ways of doing things have changed. Sometimes the earliest Christians met in house churches, sometimes lived in basilicas, and here we have the Church of Conscious Harmony. When Father Rico first came here to share a workshop with us, he returned to the priory where he stayed in New Jersey. And one of the other monks said to him, well, where have you been? And he said, the Church of Conscious Harmony. And the other priest said, oh, how old is that church? And Carl said, about 2,000 years. So here we are with all the changes behind us, going through another great change that we can't predict the outcome of, but we can know that Christianity stands on the rock of faith, and that whatever we've been through and whatever we will go through, we are accompanied every step of the way by the living Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the love of God our Creator. So he is risen. He's risen in all our minds and hearts, and we're still here. And Christ will be here again and again and again until the last farthing is paid out in the human experience. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God bless you, and may you have a happy Easter and a prosperous new year full of spiritual surprises.
Happy Easter. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. This week, as I was entering into Holy Week, I couldn't help but think of all the Easters that we've shared together as a community. And I was very blessed to go on the Lenten retreat. And at that time, it was before the big shutdowns had started happening. And so we were blissfully, somewhat blissfully unaware of what was going on. And we resided in this deep well of presence and silence. Love, joy, peace, hope, and growth. And I feel that that's where we reside as a community. I feel our oneness in the field of Christ. I feel like those who are contemplatives are holding the center for this amazing change that is taking place right now. If you remember, Sister Ilya said that in Newtonian and Aristotelian thinking, order, balance is the order of the day. But in new thinking, in new physics and quantum physics, it is in chaos that growth can happen. And so I've just been feeling that so much, that we have been given this amazing stop by God. The whole globe has stopped for Lent to make more space for God. And I see us holding that center and holding the possibility of love, joy, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, peace, growing in and unfolding in Christ. So it is with great joy that I greet you, and I know that you are responding because we're in this together. And yes, I cannot help but feel the distress of all of our brothers and sisters who don't know what the resurrected Christ means, who don't have a prayer practice, who aren't grounded in faith. So I do. I feel their distress. I hold them up, and I know that our center is holding them up. But I do also hold that this is a time of incredible possibility. And it's wonderful to know that we're holding that together. So happy Easter. He is risen. He is rising. Amen.
Be of good cheer, friends.
So thank you, Tim and Barbara. We love you, and we all bow to the treasures you have given to us and the treasures that you are. Stay safe and stay well. So as you can see, I've returned to my Presbyterian cocoon. I would like to be in this cocoon most Sundays, I assure you. This is my eggshell. And I feel very safe in this little eggshell. 20 years ago today was the first Sunday I served as an ordained Presbyterian minister at the First Presbyterian Church in Flint, Michigan. And so this is my 20th anniversary of being an ordained Presbyterian minister. And this is a wonderful analogy in multiple ways, because it symbolizes my old self, or that part of me that was necessary for being in formation for transformation. And it's not that I wasn't being transformed as a Presbyterian minister. I was being transformed in the goop. but it wasn't my ultimate destiny. And that's the message of resurrection, is that there's a shedding of one form of life, a shedding of one physical expression to gain another dimension of being. And that is the essence of what the revelation of resurrection is teaching us, that there is a life beyond life, a different kind of existence beyond life. Bernadette Roberts, that we talked about on Good Friday in her chapter on death, follows up that chapter with another extraordinary chapter on resurrection. And this is from page 375 of her book, The Real Christ. And I want to draw a couple thoughts out from this and then conclude the analogy. She writes, "If the body the apostles saw was eternal, then the man Jesus would still be around." If you think about that for a second, the resurrection body wasn't meant for this life, wasn't meant for this world. If it were, he'd still be around, but he's not here. That body couldn't exist here. It was totally different from what a normal body is. The fact that almost immediately after resurrection, Jesus disappeared from this earth tells us the body the apostles saw was not eternal, which is why it disappeared in the ascension. Then too, if the resurrected body can live an earthly life, then why die at all? Heaven is not a place, but a totally different dimension of existence, God's own dimension of existence. Earthly life and eternal life are totally incompatible. Nothing created has any eternal life of its own, and for God to grant eternal life to anything created, God has to transform it into its own dimension, into God's own dimension of existence. What other eternal life is there? Since God alone is eternal life, unless a person can somehow participate in God's eternal life, there is no other way a person could have any eternal life. St. Paul the Apostle explains his view of the resurrected body as a spiritual body. This way, the thing, the physical body, that is sown is perishable. But what is raised is glorious. When it is sown, it embodies the soul. When it is raised, it embodies the spirit. If the soul has its own embodiment, so does the spirit have its own embodiment. The first man, Adam, as Scripture says, became a living soul, but the last Adam, Jesus, has become a life-giving spirit. That is, first the one with the soul, not the spirit, and after that, the one with the spirit. The first man, Adam, being from earth, is earthly by nature. The second man, Jesus, is from heaven, so to speak. As this earthly man was, so are we on earth. And as the heavenly man is now, Christ, so are we in heaven. And we who have been molded on the earthly man, the template of the earthly man, will be molded in the template of the heavenly man. That's really rich theology, but it's very simple. Boys and girls, moms and dads, grown adults, and youth can all understand it in the image of the chrysalis as the process of dying to a new life. The body of this earth is the caterpillar. The body of eternal life, the resurrected body, is the butterfly. And it's the same for each of us on our spiritual journeys, that little by little by little over the course of our spiritual journey, we're shedding layers, we're dying to layers of our false self or that old person in us or that aspect of ourself that's not quite awake or connected with love or wounded, deeply wounded, and it gets touched by the divine love and light, and that gets healed, and it gets awakened. You know, we hear the word dream, that we're all in a dream, we're all asleep. I think it's very instructive that in German, the word for dream is trauma. In German, the word for dream is trauma. And in many ways, we've all just been traumatized by our parents and by being in this planet. We've been traumatized, and so we go into that cocoon to hide, to feel safe. And it's a strategy for feeling safe. And who can blame any little child for taking that strategy to the max? No one. And thus, the spiritual journey is seeking to raise us up little by little by little, to crack our eggshells, to crack our cocoons open, and see what else can be born. And in my case, it was a very visceral experience of being transformed, because I was just this. But when I met Tim Cook and came into this community and discovered the work and deepened my centering prayer practice, something began to change in me that gave me a connection to billions or trillions of dollars worth of wisdom and goodness and love, so to speak. And it continues to work in my life as it does in your lives, so that I'm no longer this person. I'm no longer that guy. Nor are you. We're all being changed. And in my case, it's a more demonstrable role. But in your case, it's no less demonstrable in the things that you're called to do in this world. Deepening in your realness, deepening in your surrender to God, letting go of the falseness, letting go of the fears, letting go of the hurts and the wounds of a lifetime to be more free. And I can assure you, there's a great joy in that freedom. And that freedom really makes us happy for no reason at all. It's something I wish for more and more, that my face would show the joy that's in my heart. I came across this wisdom, and it is beautiful teaching from a man by the name of White Eagle, a Hopi indigenous. White Eagle. And he said this on March 16th, just about a month ago. And this is his wisdom to us, the white people who conquered his lands. It is his wisdom to the human family, from a wisdom that is connected to the earth in a way that keeps them humble and grounded and more real and doesn't have the shell of the dollar protecting them. He writes, "This moment humanity is going through can be seen as a portal or as a hole. A portal or a hole. The decision to fall into the hole or go through the portal is up to you and to me. If we repent of the problem, if we keep consuming the news 24 hours a day, if we keep having little energy, nervous all the time with pessimism, we will fall into the hole. But if you take this opportunity to look at yourself, to rethink life and death, take care of yourself and others, you will cross the portal. Take care of your home. Take care of your body. Connect with the middle body, the heart center, the middle body of your spiritual house. All this is synonymous, that is to say, the same. When you are taking care of one, you are taking care of everything else. Do not lose the spiritual dimension of this crisis. Have the aspect of the eagle, which from above sees the whole and sees it more widely. There is a social demand for all of us in this crisis. But there is also a spiritual demand in this crisis. The two go hand in hand, social and spiritual. Without the social dimension, we fall into fanaticism. But without the spiritual dimension, we fall into pessimism and lack of all meaning. You were prepared to go through this crisis. Take your toolbox and use all the tools at your disposal. Learn about resistance from the indigenous and from African peoples. We have always been and continue to be exterminated and on the edge. But we still haven't stopped singing, dancing, lighting a fire, or having fun. Don't feel guilty about being happy during this difficult time. You don't help at all by being sad and without energy. It helps if good things emanate from the universe now. It is through joy that one resists. Also, when the storm passes, you will be very important in the reconstruction of this new world. You need to be well and strong. And for that, there is no other way than to maintain a beautiful and happy and bright vibration. This has nothing to do with alienation. This is a resistance strategy. In shamanism, there is a rite of passage called the vision quest. You spend a few days alone in the forest without water, without food, without protection. When you grow through this portal, you get a new vision of the world, of yourself, because you have faced your fears. You have faced your difficulties and broken through them. What world do you want to build for yourself? For now, this is what you can do. Serenity in the storm. Calm down and pray. Every day, pray. Establish a routine every day to meet each day as sacred. Good things emanate from you, and this is important. Sing, dance, resist through art, joy, faith, and love. This Easter will be remembered as the great cracking open, not the great shutdown. The great cracking open of these false facades, not false meaning bad, but false meaning unworkable, useful for a time. But the great cracking open is revealing light and love in an incomprehensible way. And kindness is flowing through this country and through this world in ways that no one could have imagined. Kindness and love are rising from the dead. Kindness and love are manifesting through us. This is who we are. This is what we are underneath all the garments and the garb of our roles and our professions and our money and all the social pretensions that have kept us in fear and divided from one another. The truth is that we are united, and this is the great cracking open revealing this union, and all the other lies to the contrary ultimately will not lead us to joy. They lead us to a deeper despair. And so let us be these people who have been cracked open, not all at once, little by little by little. And we get cracked open in the silence, and we get cracked open in our singing, and we get cracked open in our walking in nature. We get cracked open looking into our eyes of our beloveds and our children. We get cracked open in the Eucharist. We get cracked open in all sorts of ways. It's a beautiful gift to celebrate Easter resurrection as the great cracking open into a wealth, into eternal wealth that nothing or no one could ever take away from you, and that you can give and 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 give endlessly, because it's connected to Source, which is love, and that's the powerhouse running the whole universe. Are we coming into correspondence with this? Is our vibration attuning into that love? I believe it is. Praise be to God. I thank you for being in the cloud of conscious harmony, for your attention and intention. You've heard what I've had to say and what Tim and Barbara have had to say, what Don and Deborah have so beautifully said. Take a moment now in the silence and let the Holy Spirit crack you open a little bit more. Amen. And now, aware of the truth aware of the victory of consciously chosen love over dollars and digits. We play the game on this earth, but we know the truth of eternal life as our source, the game of dollars. And so, on this planet, we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings that you have offered as an expression of your total surrender to God, true source. And we dedicate them to the victory of consciously chosen love, especially for all those who can't make rent, especially for all those who don't know where their groceries are coming from, the most vulnerable among us. We dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love for all of these, over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Mother of life, womb of creation, all things come from and return to me. I am Lord of the dance, changer and changing from the atom to the galaxies. I am forever. You are forever in me. We live together in eternity. I sent a son, to show men and women the way. Now death could not hold him, for he knew I was with him. And he rose up on the third day. He said, I am forever. You are forever in me. We live together in eternity. Now Jesus cried, and Jesus died, and Jesus rose up on Easter Day. May the false self die, may the Christ rise. In every woman and man here today, I am forever. You are forever in me. We live together in eternity. I am in you, you are in me. Nothing can come between us. Let your fly. Love does not die. It is the bond that joins us. I am forever. You are forever in me. We live together. Ah.
us now rest in the silence with 10 minutes of centering prayer, a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
We are cracked open together and united in the Eucharist, wherever you may be. I invite you to partake in this just as if you were here in the sanctuary. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us into your love as we join in singing with all the saints.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal, resurrected Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. for the glory of God our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. I invite you to stand wherever you might be and sing along with Easter joy. Sing your heart out, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul.
We conclude our Lenten journey with the glory of being cracked open on this Resurrection Sunday. I remember the future next year, Easter, and I know you do too. And yet, in the most beautiful way, we've been more present to each other than ever before. And so, until we meet again, the love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power, raising each of us up from death to life, now and always. Amen.